shit cock wank fuck.
I'll let you do the editing then.
Hi guys, and welcome to the Knights Errant podcast. I'm Wes, and today I'm here with Pete.
Hello.
And Gaz.
All right.
And this is our first podcast, so welcome to us. And here at the Horus Heresy Weekender 2019. But first, we thought we'd just tell you a little bit about ourselves. So over to you, Pete.
Hi guys. Well, I'm the resident Ultramarine player here. That's my favourite legion. I also have a Sons of Horus army and a Mechanicum force that can be used for either side. I've been in the hobby for more years than I can care to count, and I love it. I absolutely love it.
You are the old man in the group, aren't you?
I am slightly older than all of you, by like
you're like 45 now.
All right, baldy.
How about you, Gaz?
So I played the Ninth Legion. I've played the Ninth Legion since, well, obviously you weren't the Ninth Legion then. He was Blood Angels in
nipple armor.
Yeah, nice nipple armor. God, can I say that? Turn me on.
Did you have a nipple ring?
No.
I bet you did.
No, I didn't. I think my nipples are too small for that. I think mine is tiny.
Anyway, after last night, I agree that age actually.
Can't hang anything off mine. You've ruined me now. Yes, I've played Blood Angels in second. I've got slowly building up a Solar Auxilia army. I've bought enough White Scars and Raven Guard to do with them armies, but anyone who knows anything about me will know painting takes absolutely ages for me. And that's not to say I'm Golden Demon. We've all seen my work. I'm definitely not. It just takes me forever. I buy everything. Other than Lee, who's yet to come here, I've probably got the biggest selection of stuff.
Your armies are pretty much in boxes, though, aren't they?
Well, I think, what was it, 16 Storm Ravens? Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah. So I'm Wes, and I've been a hobby for quite a long time now, maybe 20 plus years. Fairly new to Heresy, only got into that about 2 years ago. I've got a Ravenwing Dark Angels army, which is my primary one. I love that, it's so much fun.
You like playing traitors, don't you?
I'll give you traitor, fella. I could play some traitors at some time. I mean, must do that. So that's my main army. I've also got a Custodes army. I do like the fact that golden are easy to paint and easy to play at the same time, so I'm all about that.
And it should be mentioned that when we've got to Warhammer Warden tournaments, your Dark Angels have gone into the cabinets a few times, haven't they?
Yeah, I've been quite lucky to be nominated Best Army a couple of times. Yeah, so it's
painting black's easy.
Said no one ever. No, I'm really proud of them, actually, because I made the army because I thought it just looked cool. It turns out it's actually quite powerful on the table as well. I knew nothing about it before I built it, and I spent quite a bit of time mashing sort of 40k Ravenwing bits into it as well. It's my pride and joy, I must admit that. Yeah. Cool, so that's us. There are a few more people who'll be joining us today at the other podcasts as we go through, but that's us at the weekend of the night. So let's talk about the weekend, I guess.
Yeah, so this is weekend number 7 for some of us. Some of us haven't been to all of them.
Yeah.
So what I thought would be useful to do is maybe talk about what we expected of the event.
Well, I think we all know what everyone expected. And I was determined I would have bet so much. Especially when, obviously, we saw the releases before, and they said, some secret little thing. And I was like, well, we all know it's Book A. Yeah, it's got to be Book A. Book A. So, yeah, definitely.
I think it's safe to say we had high expectations.
Yeah,
and
everyone said it's Book A. Apparently, some Somali pirates are now. I see they're reading about the Horus Heresy.
It must be said, a 2-year gap in book release has been quite a heavy burden for the community to bear. But
I think I think some of that was because of an unforeseen.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, there's more to the Weekender than just a book release, and invariably there's been a book release at Weekenders, get that. Mm. But there's more here than that. There's also Necromunda as well.
Yeah, which
has caused a bit of upset.
It has, but do you know what? I actually attended several of the Necromunda things today by choice, and I actually quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, I must say I attended the Necromunda events more than the actual Heresy events. I found that...
To be fair, I attended one or two, but that was purely because of the Heresy ones were full, so I had to go into something.
I've been a little underwhelmed with the Heresy coverage that was supposed to be a Heresy weekend. The seminar topics have been somewhat...
Doesn't seem lacking. As many things happening.
Yeah, because there's no book to back it up with, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that two-year drought has actually shown itself this weekend, because they haven't had the content to fill it with. However, I do feel a little bit more hopeful after today.
Yes,
yes. And that's one thing that this weekend has certainly done. It's invigorated
because
the desire to be in the hobby.
Going back to the talks, a lot of the talks are repeated. So the new Angron book, that's done on two different days, which if obviously you couldn't attend the one, you know, it's great, but it's not like there's about, you know, six different talks going on at the same time that you think, oh God, I can't choose all these. There's only, what, two, three, and it's a bit, oh, hang on.
So
you normally pick your ones you want, and through the course of a weekend, you only miss one.
So before we go down that route, let's just break this down a little bit on how we'll talk about Weekender. So let's talk about the location, where we are this time. We'll then move into some of the seminar topics and what we've seen. Then we'll talk about the thing that gets everyone pumped, which is new models. Everyone, I think, really enjoys seeing that part. So the venue, it's the first time that we've been in this lovely Radisson Blu. The suites are beautiful. Lovely purple.
Apart from my toilet, who I will say, Pete come into my toilet, had a shit, and then properly blocked my toilet. Can't wait for my wife to find out that she's got no toilet because Pete's blocked it.
Mine's fine. That's all that matters to me. So, but as a hotel, it's a nice venue.
Yeah.
Seems a little bit cramped compared to the Belfry where we've been for all the other Heresy weekends.
Quite
out of the way. Yeah, absolutely. I don't think the staff know what to make of us.
No.
This is clearly the first time.
It's a bit of shock and awe for them, isn't it, really?
They've had several hundred people
geeks
that are extremely geeky hanging about in their lobby
I don't think having two tills was a good idea, and especially on the first day, one in German, so no one could use it. So
the sales stand,
to one.
Yeah. I think on the whole the hotel is actually really quite nice, just a little bit out of the way, and it's their first one.
Yeah.
So talk about the organisation of it, I guess.
Would you say it's better than the Belfry, or?
I prefer it to the Belfry.
Do you?
Yeah. I think it's got a bit more potential, that's my perspective on it. I think they just needed a little bit more time to test and adjust and figure out how they're going to run it a bit more. Yeah.
Certainly the throne room, the main seminar room, is much bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels more comfortable when you're in there watching those presentations. I would say the Forge World exhibit area, the Army Chamber or whatever they're calling it this time, where they show models, the sculptors are there, they've got the diorama in this instance of the 9th Legion about to get its arse handed to it by a load of demons. That is a much smaller space.
Yeah.
Certainly feels much smaller. It can be quite hard to get through. Let's face it, a lot of gamers are rotund, me included. So getting to the desk to see these models, to talk to the people that have designed them, a little bit more claustrophobic, I found in there than in the Belfry. But the ambience is nicer. It's a little bit low lighting. It shows the models off better when you're looking through the cabinets. The demo pod's small.
Yes, it is very small.
That was small.
But I do believe that was only because they had them two tables in there that couldn't get out.
I suppose they did take those out.
Yeah, if they took them out, it'd be much better. The gaming room seems a lot bigger. I wouldn't say much, but unless how they organised it seemed a lot more.
It's a bit deeper, but
I don't know, because they normally have a demo game table going on that they don't have at this one. So in the last couple, they've been trying out some new campaign rules or the Necromunda set at the last weekend.
Obviously, the sales stand is massively smaller.
Yeah.
Massively.
That is one of the things.
That's caused countless problems, to be fair.
Yeah, so I think they had some sort of setup issues in terms of like how they laid out and how they staffed it initially, and that I think that caused a bit of backlog. compared to the one we had last year where they had four tills, they had a good sort of lineup system for people to queue into as well, which it was quite well set up. I think they were just lacking a little bit in the preparation for the one today.
Yeah, I think today, what I found was that the organisation at the start, so it was a Danish pastry of a queue.
I've never seen anything like it.
It was amazing.
It's really difficult to quite try, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like people started lining up, but because they were getting to the edge of the building, they started coming around in a circle, and it pretty much was the Danish
pastry.
Curling inwards.
Yeah.
And miraculously, people kind of uncurled themselves when they started going back to
queue. I mean, the vast majority of attendees are British. We know how to queue, but
yeah.
Or at least stay in queue, let's put it that way. But I just found their expectation from the staff, the Games Workshop staff, and Forge World staff, was not as well thought through or well planned as
it's
LPS.
But to be fair, it's like every year, isn't it? It's like they're always shocked how many people come to the events. I mean, they've sold the tickets, so they know how many people come to the events.
So the opening ceremony was meant to start at 10:30, and we only started seeing staff arrive and start doing stuff probably about 9:30. So that's probably... They really need to be there on the door, welcoming people from about 8:30, I think.
Yes.
To get people through in a reasonable time, to get tickets issued and the goodie bags, etc., in just a bit more of a functional way.
I hope no event organisers listen to this because I will be getting death threats straight away.
I will say, I know a lot of people will have mixed feelings. I quite like the drawstring bag, etc.
Yes.
I do like
the drawstring bag.
I do feel, however, that for the ticket price we've paid, again, the quality of the goodies compared to what we had or we have had in the past with proper backpacks and proper messenger bags, a few more buttons than what we've got, a few more bits and pieces, I feel a little bit underwhelmed with that this time.
They could claim inflation though.
They could. They could guess. Absolutely.
They could say Brit exit.
I think it brings it onto a thing at the moment. The events running at the minute, they seem to be making cutbacks in certain areas where a lot of it is very premium products. I found with the GW stuff. Like the tournaments now, a little bit sidetrack here, but with tournaments now, before lunchtime you get a full meal. Now you get a salad sandwich, and that's pretty much what you get now. So they're making cutbacks there, which is a premium product, and they're just not fulfilling what you're getting for the price, I think.
At the same time, how many people use them bags you used to get previously? Yes.
I do.
I've got one in my back car from last year, which I spoke to someone on Messenger because he was trying to buy one, says, I'll send you one for free. It's been in my car since last year. I'm such a horrible person. I can say, I'll send you.
So my wife uses the Custodes one.
Don't ever ask for me to send you anything.
She uses the Custodes bag we got a couple of years back, and I use the very first one we had. That's a bit of a general catch-all for me. And my messenger bag, the Necromunda messenger bag that we had, I use that for my laptop when I'm traveling. So I'm that sort of geek. I use the drawstring bag.
Yeah.
But
I'll probably use that more than anything else because I can use that for swimming or something. So we all know what we was expecting.
Yeah.
It's not here. What's the thought on it?
Well, no, your wife feels now big expectations and little delivery.
Yeah, well,
I'm going right in with the person.
You know what they say, isn't it? It's not the size, it's what you do with it that counts. And that's why she's doubly disappointed. Double disappointment.
Yeah. So, I was really hoping for book 8 and sit back here and chat about it tonight, but unfortunately, we don't have it. Apparently, it's lost in the warp somewhere between here and the printers. But
I think it's because the Dark Angels were nearly some Dark Angel fans. Probably
siphoned it in.
Cypher's got right in there and mixed it all up.
I mean, it's disappointing. What I do appreciate is the early pre-order ability that they've given us. So that at least takes a bit of this thing out.
They're very proactive with that. I think going up the line actually with the order forms for you to fill the info book 8.
Yeah, very much. That's so good. Clearly, the big model of the weekend has got to be
Well, I thought it was that Night Lord Praetor, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it the big dildo thing?
The big dildo thing, that's exactly
right. Lee actually bought one of those, didn't he? Yeah, like twisty turny end. Yeah.
£325. Yeah.
And there's like some sort of golden boy that's here as well.
So Custodes models.
Custodes
models, the findings, yeah.
Yeah.
Not biting.
No. Oh. No, of course, you have. The reveal of Sanguinius took place last week in the run-up.
Yeah.
Could it wait for today?
Yeah, I totally agree. Today they really only showcased its base, really, doesn't it? Every other Primark model gets a nice little base. Yeah, Sanguinius, you have to pay extra.
Yeah.
It's a nice base.
Yeah, to start on a positive note, I thought the model is beautiful. I think the base is beautiful. It's a really stunning model. And the fact there's different weapon options.
Yeah. I think the model is better seeing it than the pictures. Because when I first saw the pictures, I was very underwhelmed. I didn't think it was a terrible model or anything like that. But I didn't think it was one of the top Primark models. Yeah. There were certain little things, like his hair looking like it's on fire. You know, it looks like it's got a little flaming head.
I can only dream of having hair like that. Yeah.
But the wings weren't what I wanted. I wanted a bit more. I like a bit more height rather than more of a bird wing. So there was that. But other than that, especially when we first saw the first picture, I was thinking, I'm not sure about the pose, but. Seeing the actual model now, it looks a lot better. The things on it is fantastic. I think it's always one of the, I've played Blood Angels since seconds. They're never going to do the Primark exactly how you want, are they? If you had 100 Blood Angel players in there, would all have a totally different idea of what it should be.
Sanguinius is such a difficult one, though, because. Yeah. I'm not even a Dark Angel player, and I bought him today because I really like the model. But I think in terms of your expectations for Sanguinius, you expect a phenomenal model because he's
natural. I mean, he's built up to be this luminous being.
Yeah.
More so than any of the other Primarchs, he's a walking angel.
Yeah.
And so, if it doesn't meet your exact expectations, I'm not emotionally invested in the model, like you. You are a Ninth Legion fan for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I am not. I like it. I like the Blood Angels as a background force, a little allied thing off to the side. You know, he has a purpose. He is to be killed and strangled by Horus. That is his job. But I'm not as invested, as I say.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing. I'm not saying it's terrible.
I think he's a nice model.
But I mean, I think when we all saw Horus for the first time, it was like, that stood you straight away. Everyone,
well, even Angron as well, actually. That because Angron first was the first, wasn't he?
Yeah. But I think Sanguinius is a little bit like Logar. I know a lot of people didn't like Logar.
I can't stand that model. I can't stand that man.
No one can stand that man. But I actually quite like the Logar model. I feel he's very, very nice model. I don't think none of the Primarchs are bad.
No.
But, I just think it's probably just because I'm an idiot and I've been wanting Sanguinius for so long. And let's face facts, after 2 years' wait, you build up and you go and get more and more, isn't it? But I do love the different weapon options.
Yeah, it's just. Did you see the pistol on his
hip? Infernus.
Yeah,
that is beautiful.
Yeah,
that is. I only noticed that just as we were walking up here shortly.
So the question is, sword or spear? Just for modelling purposes.
It's the question I ask myself every day.
I call mine a lance, but it's definitely not a lance.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that number one, his left hand, I don't like in the version without the scenic base.
Yeah.
It seems to be there's a separate another version grasping the demon.
Yeah.
In the scenic base version, I like that one. As for the weapon option, I think when he's on that model base it has to be the spear. For me, I love the look of the spear.
So I think I'm going to magnetise it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. For gaming purposes. Yeah. But if I was just doing a display piece, it would have the spear. Mm. I like the rules of the spear. I like that he can throw it and then draw his sword.
Yeah, I thought
that was a really good little tidbit they threw at us.
Did they actually show the rules anywhere today?
Yeah, so there has been some extracts. So in that remembrance, not remembrance at all, the armory chambers, little extracts there. So
there's been a few. Apparently, my phone's over there. The spear is an extra strength 3 on the charge, AP 1. When obviously not on the charge, it's strength as user, AP 2.
Okay.
Armor bane, and I think just 2-handed, if I remember correctly.
Hmm. Yeah. And then it drops, though, doesn't it? Once you're in combat, you've charged, it's got 2 programs.
This is what other people have seen.
Okay.
So don't take this as gospel or anything like this. This is just what other people have reported. So it's, like I said, strength 3 on the charge, AP 1. Second round of combat,
strength
is user,
plus
AP 2. Yes. Sorry, strength 3 on the charge. Yeah, that'd be. I would never have that. Now we know why he dies.
Flimsy blood angel.
Yeah, so plus three strength, AP 1, user, AP 2, armor bane, and special rule. Special rule is any wound rolls of a 6 add an extra wound.
Nice. Does he have a rule that if he comes up against Horus, he lies on his back and spreads his wings?
Glad you said wings.
What's going on?
At least he was there. Where was your legion?
The lion
you
was bringing the lion's wrath to the traitors' homeworlds.
Luther was the only loyal one there. Oh. Right, so that's the spear. He's also can throw it, or it shoots an attack. Because I know in the books it does actually shoot a jet of flames. 12-inch shot, strength 7, AP 2, armor bane. He also has the moon silver blade, which is strength user, AP 3, with duelist edge, and moon silver rule, which is extra wounds on a demon, and psychers and monstrous creatures. The other option is what probably most people are going to be choosing. So it's melee blade, strength plus 2. Mm-hmm. So bear in mind we have Sanguinus as strength 6, so that's strength 8.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at rugby there. Strength, so it'd be strength 8, AP 2. With shred and rampage.
So how many extra attacks is that?
Rampage is D3.
D3 extra attacks.
Yeah.
So you get 7 on the charge, potentially 10.
Yeah.
And if he's using, the sword, that's not 2-handed.
It doesn't actually say that it's a specialist weapon or 2-handed.
So potentially he could have the pistol and the sword.
Yeah. So yeah.
Which then gives him another attack.
But
he gets that. Oh, that Hammer of Wrath on that charge.
Mm.
Pretty.
Yeah, do you know the Hammer of Wrath on the charge?
Yeah, that's nice.
Strength 10.
Oh, really?
AP 2.
Nice.
So, I love the image. The Praetors there out in the armour, out in the open.
Mm.
His command squad's gone. Sanguinus just comes, lands on his chest, and he's dead.
Yeah. But that's what it's supposed to represent, isn't it?
Yeah.
Angel landing.
No, yeah. What's that coming from the sky and then next
piece? Have you ever seen the film Constantine?
Mm.
Just putting it out there. The angel Gabriel. That androgynous angel.
I think that's the only problem with
Sanguinus
a little bit, is they've tried, I can understand why they've gone for the angel of Michael and all, but it would have been nice to have tried to make their own angel. so to speak, a little bit away.
Yeah, it'd be difficult with all the...
I think it's one of them things, isn't it? You know, they use historical references for everything.
10,000 years worth of actual mythology that's been put into our understanding of what an angel is, as in today's normal humans. So they've got to be influenced by that type
of stuff. There's lots of Renaissance feel in the army anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can see the iconography and the decals. Yeah.
I think so. I think everyone's going to be having the blade. I don't know. I quite like the modelling purposes. I love the spear.
Yeah, I think if I was modelling it, spear.
Yeah.
But I do like that basket hilt. And I did like that they tried, you know, listening to Will in the seminar talking about the sword and how, because it's got a basket, you wouldn't normally have that on a double-handed broadsword. So they've tried to change it into more of a sort of hand and a half sword and give it a leading edge and a shorter edge on the reverse. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
it gave it a lot of interest.
Do you ever get the feeling that sometimes the... Because the artist normally comes first, doesn't he? So they'll draw the art and the game designer looks and goes, oh, why have you done that? Yeah, they're going, I've got to make that pose. So like the sword, okay, I could have just normal, awesome, massive sword.
I mean, you could say the same about Gabriel Logan, couldn't you? So they
I just mean anything.
Paragon version of a chainsaw because the story had him with a chainsaw.
Yeah.
You know, and the game doesn't, a chainsaw isn't that powerful.
Yeah.
In game terms, but the imagery of it is powerful. And
I think the thing that gets our juices going generally, though, is how the model looks.
Yeah, precisely.
So the cool look, and then it's up to the game designer then to make that cool looking model have fitting rules.
Because look, let's face facts. I'm going to buy two. Probably more.
Well, you will, and you'll leave it in the box.
Yeah.
Add it to your other.
Do you know the massive, really useful boxes? It's just going to be rows and rows of sanguinas.
Start building your house out of it soon.
Yeah. I've got no answer to it because it's totally true. It's absolutely true.
So sanguinas.
It's the same.
Thumbs up to the model, I think.
Yep.
Absolutely good looking. Okay,
then out of 10.
Oh. I give him an 8 out of 10.
So I give it 9. I really like it.
I'd probably say 7.
So I go the reason I go the 8 rather than a 9 would be because of this base separate piece. I'm just not a fan of the idea.
That's the thing, actually. If you come with that base, that base really adds to the model.
Yeah,
it makes it look
a lot
better.
Yeah,
that's where I give it the 9.
Yeah. So I'm thinking as a whole, definitely 9.
Yeah.
That base is beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great model.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk about the price at all. But
I'm not. See, I. £80 is the most expensive Primark.
£80 for him individually, and then an additional, was it £45 then for the base?
Yes, and that's the bit that gets me.
Yeah, I think
I don't mind the £80 for him.
I think that's a little bit naughty. I think I'd as soon as just paid £100 for it to be that.
How much was the base for Russ and Magnus?
£20 or £25. So
it's even more expensive.
Base. It's double the price of the scenic base.
Yeah.
Those two people into
that base was a lot bigger because that was a fly stand base.
It's a bigger base. It's like a night sized base, but then you fit.
Yeah, obviously
with
it's got
scenic bases into it. So, if you think about big bases, Russ. So we've talked about Russ and Angus. They've got quite big bases. Dawn has a big base. He's got a huge base. That big oval thing that he's on.
How much is Magnus?
So
because he's massive.
I think
there's
70. I think he's one of the 70.
It's just do you get the feeling that because of who Sanguinus is, they just thought we could make more money out of this?
I don't know. I don't think it's because it's Sanguinus. I think it's something that's happened.
Right, so
I think that pretty much covers Sanguinus, really, isn't it?
So what shows did everyone go and see? And I'm not talking about cinema shows, obviously. What talks?
So I went to a couple of the Necromunda ones. saw the. In fact,
that's heresy, though.
Heresy. So yeah, Pete and I went to a couple of those, and it was. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed them, actually.
I found them fantastic, illuminating, brilliant, full of vim and verve, and really, really getting me excited for the grim, dark, and gribbly world of Necromunda.
It really recharged me for Necromunda, actually. Yeah, it really did.
Yeah, this is a heresy podcast, you know.
Yeah, this is a heresy podcast.
So no, absolutely.
So we won't talk about it too much, but I really enjoyed the Necromunda bits. My only take really is I'd actually like them to be two separate weekends, so I could dedicate myself to Necromunda.
Yeah.
And then dedicate myself to heresy, because I felt myself pulled at times between things that I wanted to see.
Kind of feel you could do it's a 2-day event. Repeat the day. So day one for us could be Necromunda all day.
Yeah.
And then we do the Heresy Day on day two, and Vicky Verka, you know.
Yeah.
But, on the Heresy side, I really like those Space Wolf Death Swarm models that we've seen properly today. Very good.
I went to see the artwork of Necromunda and Heresy. There was one or two places I went to try and get in. They were full, so I went into the artwork one. And that was actually really good.
Mm.
You know, the solar system that they'll be showing, it's absolutely amazing, that drawing is. I am definitely buying that, no matter what it costs.
Oh, it's part of the Siege of Terror?
Yes.
Okay.
So, they said a limited edition version will be released in March, and it comes with this big painted map, which I'm getting that. It's absolutely fantastic.
Your planets they've put on there.
Sorry?
Just kidding.
But this is just it. It's got, so it has.
Yeah, I've just.
Extra
shown.
Planetary bodies.
Really?
That are on
yeah.
That are in the solar system. By the time of the what was that, the 29th, 30th millennium?
Yeah. And then, obviously, they showed one or two images, you know, they showed the Primarchs to come and stuff. It was really nice. They showed the Necromunda art. We can all say the GW, the art they produce, is just unreal. The artists are just all fantastic, aren't they?
That's what keeps you in, isn't
yeah.
it? You can read the books and paint the picture in your mind, but we can all see the same picture. And that art that they do, so beautiful.
So I also saw, I think it's Mark, the new painter for Forge World. The French.
Oh, true.
Is it Drew?
Drew, yeah.
See, right, you'll quickly learn I'm awful with names on this show.
That's right, Andy.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, I went to that one as well. So, I went to the two painting sessions that Drew did today. It was the Painting Loyalists.
Yeah, and
Blood Angels. Yeah.
Yeah, and Painted Traitors.
Painting Traitors, which was...
Sons of Horus.
Sons of Horus.
I spoke to him after that. And I think the problem is, I think some people go into them expecting, because... You know, he's won countless Golden Demons, expecting him to learn something for Golden Demons. Whereas I think them shows are more designed to the more, say, average hobbyist of making maybe your model army better. Because
he started off saying actually that he's here to show you how to paint an army essentially.
Yeah.
Really quickly into reasonable standard.
Yeah.
I think he achieved it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I said to him afterwards, I said that was absolutely brilliant. It's inspired me to do so much more with my Blood Angels.
Yeah. It was good that there was no airbrush stuff this time.
Nah. He did say he might bring his airbrush next time.
Yeah, but for those that don't airbrush, you know,
which I totally agree.
The vast majority of hobbyists don't airbrush, but, you know, so it was good for that part. It's almost like watching a Duncan or Peachy video of how to paint Citadel miniatures, but instead of doing the swipe away between the colours and this is how we did it, you're watching him do all the techniques, the edge highlighting, the base, you know, it's really nice to see.
I found it really useful having done lots of painting myself over the years, and then I've gone to a couple of heavy metal painting days, and I actually learned quite a bit in that today. And it's really good on the second one because people were very quiet and not asking questions, so I asked several of my own sort of questions and getting ideas how I'm going to paint more of my Dark Angels, and it was really useful. He was very engaging. And
is that on the Swords of Horus one? Painting Traitors.
Yeah, Painting Traitors.
Yeah.
Learning how to paint
Spray
Traitors.
Drive brush.
Yeah. So I thought it was great. Drew, you did a great job there.
Really nice bloke, really helpful.
Yeah.
When I've spoke to him.
Yeah. And only been working for the company for a month or so.
A few weeks ago. Yeah.
So I think he's working for, by the sounds of it, he's working for Heavy Metal before.
Yes.
He's just switched over to Forge World.
Ah, right, okay.
That's how I understood it. Maybe completely wrong. But yeah, just working there for
a month. An amazing freehand. I don't know if you saw his
yes.
Mechanicum Knight in the display
cabinet. No.
My word. I thought it was transfers.
Really?
Beautiful freehand. Skulls and stakes.
So me and Glee also spoke to...
a person. We'll call him Mike.
Neil Roberts is the artist, isn't he?
Yes.
Patrick. He's got three bow on name.
Patrick Neil Roberts, I think.
Patrick Neil Roberts.
Just the words you just said. Yeah. I just said it with confidence, it's fine.
Yeah. I'm totally wrong. But he's the bloke who designed all the Blood Angel Praetors, the Night Lords Praetors, and stuff. And if you've never spoke to him, you need to go and speak to him. He's absolutely brilliant. He's absolutely mental. Brilliant.
Well, that's why I want to do a bit more tomorrow, actually, is go actually and speak to the people.
Yeah, he's really a funny bloke. And
yeah.
It's one of them people you could sit here and talk to him all day.
Yeah. And then the only other show I went to was the big reveals.
Reveals?
Big reveals.
Pray tell.
So they stood there with their mats on. They put some music on, lights, and then they open the Mac.
This is not the reveals you've been seeing in Germany.
And so the just absolutely fantastic what's coming.
Well, it was great actually, wasn't it? Because they're doing the introductions, and Tony was standing up going, "This is so and so, this is so and so." They're about to announce Anuj, clicks the button for next, and rather than Anuj's name pop up, up comes some White Scars Praetors, and everybody was like, "Oh my god!" Straight to the camera phones trying to take pictures of it, and bless it. Poor Nuge put lots of work in over the past couple of years to have his limelight spoiled by a picture that Tony put up too soon.
Yeah. But fantastic.
And what do you think of the models? Them ones, the Praetor ones.
So the White Scar ones, full of character, I thought they were fantastic.
I really did think that the entire range, actually, the White Scars ones they put up were really nice.
Yeah, it was good to hear the stories about the why they've got the dreadnoughts. Because everyone obviously assumes that they hate being in dreadnoughts so much.
So obviously, the first two was obviously the two Praetors, one in Terminator armor, one in normal.
Yeah.
And
that normal one, it's a very dynamic pose actually.
Yes.
That's kind of what you want from a White Scar.
Yes. Yeah. Captures it perfectly.
Yeah. Really good.
And obviously. On the Terminator one, they've got the Cyber Eagle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that actually.
The piece of war gear that you can take.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. And then the next one was the White Scars Contemptor Dreadnought.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really good model. It's not much more you can say about it.
Like you were saying then, because we all know White Scars don't really like Dreadnoughts.
Mm.
How would you equip him to make him feel more?
Stick him on a jet bike.
You'd have to run it with two Dreadnought close combat weapons, with the guns and the weapons, so that he can skip his way forward.
The next one, if you've had a Contemptor, you know what it's going to be, don't you? Leviathan.
It looks chunky, that actually. It looked more chunky than normal.
Bit of a shame there's no dedicated Dorado pattern. Legion specific Dorados.
Yeah.
Wonder why that is.
Yeah, I definitely can't see the White Scars having one of them. You know? And the next one was the Terminator Squad.
I liked that.
Which, they're still in design.
Yeah.
By the sounds of it.
Yeah. I mean, the picture is of a design of the cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tartarus armor, which is appropriate, I think, for them.
Dynamic poses, scythe-like blades.
The only thing I've noticed when looking at them, and I'm going to have to scroll in with my picture, is they didn't look like they had any weapons to shoot. No guns or anything, because there's nothing on the blades.
So they talked about the backstory from when they were people that had something to prove, is either to get rid of the stain of their of something bad that they've done, or to impress to get promoted. So I think that's very White Scars, isn't it? Going to battle with just a blade to either redeem yourself or prove yourself.
Mm. And it's a unit I could see deep striking.
Go on.
Well, if they're proving you want them in, you know, this forefront. If they want to prove themselves, they're going to be at the forefront of the battle, aren't they? So I could see it being a deep striking unit, whereas obviously deep striking isn't very, there's not much in the Heresy range that could actually do it as a Terminator.
Charging out of a vehicle?
Yes, I can see with a Spartan, I just think they'll be given the option. But could be totally wrong. But speaking of vehicles, what about the assault javelin type?
Yeah, I really like that actually.
Guns on guns on guns.
Guns on guns.
Well, it's got assault cannon, two, I'm guessing they're two hull striker missiles.
Yep.
And auto cannons either side, twin linked.
Yeah, very nice.
What, didn't he say they were twin linked Reaper auto cannons? Make a difference.
He's in Reapers, four shots.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really nasty.
Yeah. I don't know if they're they don't standard anti-tank missile.
Hellstrike is strength 8, isn't it? It's just like a crack missile, unlimited range, I believe.
Yeah.
So. But I mean, that's just a guess. It could be anything really.
Interesting Mark 2 for the crew.
Mm.
I find that very interesting. They spoke about how, so jumping ahead a little bit, they did speak about, one of the questions that was asked was Mark II armor, what's happening with Mark II armor, and how, because people are buying the Mark III and Mark IV plastic kits, it's just economically no longer viable to keep loads of Mark II as well, so that's where that went. And here we see Mark II armor once again, which is good. I like that. I'm a big fan of Mark II. It's my second.
I like all of them, to be honest. I like having a bit of each.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Mark V is my favourite Heresy era armour. I do like that.
So I'm a Mark III.
I do like Mark III.
Love the chunkiness of it.
But I do like the Mark V studs.
You do like a good stud.
Yeah. I love a stud. Yeah.
Good.
And then
the Kings.
The next one was probably my favourite model.
The base.
Yeah, exactly.
The demon on the base.
So the first captain, and I think he's actually better than Sanguinus.
This is the first captain of the Blood Angels, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he reminds me a little bit of the, what's the chap from the Imperial Fists that's pointing his sword?
Oh, Sigismund.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of that.
I think he's wiping the demon blood off his
blade,
isn't he? And I mean, the hand is bigger than him, so it's just chopped off, so that gives you a sense of why he's just destroyed.
It's very Blood Angel, though, isn't it? Just middle battle, wiping the blood off his blade, so it's in pristine condition.
I absolutely love that model. I think he's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, beautiful.
And then we've got to say that this is still in design.
Yeah. The
jump pack dreadnought.
Yes.
I
Contemptor Incandius.
Incandius is it?
Incandius class dreadnought.
So this thing can either deep strike out of space essentially and use the rocket boosters to slow his descent in the latter stages, or can launch himself for 12 inches, isn't it, for one use.
I think,
or can then assault
3d6.
Which is quite impressive.
So the model.
It says it's got Blades of Perdition.
Blades of Perdition claws, yeah. So the design they showed is clearly a sort of CAD modelling tool design. So he stood there in a legs akimbo.
Yes, still a lot of work to do. No Blood Angel symbols on him or anything.
No. So, he's got the.
Oh, yeah, he's got a little bit, yeah.
But he is essentially the betrayal at Calf.
Yeah.
plastic dread type design with some bling put on it. And I'm sure when they make the model, you will be able to pose it how you want, and it'll be really cool and dynamic. So look past the pose and the CAD drawing. And
it's just the jump pack at the back,
which will have, by the end of it, extra bits and pieces, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What I do like, that jump pack mirrors the jet packs that are on the Phalanx models. Mm. It's that design.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they're actually really good at, the studios, both in GW and in Forge World, is bringing through a continuity of design, be it the little fleur-de-lis on Mechanicum stuff that appears on Torox vehicles, that appears on the actual Mechanicum, on Knights, Imperial Knights, in the main GW stuff. This is the same thing. This is a Mechanicum design that's been put, retrofitted, upscaled, however they've done it, onto the back of this Contemptor. So it's, I like that. I like that. They keep the pattern.
And then the next thing was a Mechanicum.
It was a big old thing. So this was the Mechanicum Acastus Knight Astrius.
Yeah.
Asterius.
Did anyone hear about Astrius. The guns?
So massive conversion beamers.
Mm. Like twin linked by the sounds of it, two
of
them.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Like ridiculously big. They're great, but
he is a beamer. He is a he's got Volkites on him, has these nipple guns. He's got the Contemptor beams. he's got a missile pod that comes out of his head. I don't know if you've seen the actual model. It was on display as well.
That's beautiful.
Beautiful.
He's on display tomorrow, isn't he? You've seen him.
Yeah, he was in the army chamber when we finished. So he's got, really cool.
Yeah.
Really
cool. Anyone getting one?
I'm tempted.
Really?
Yeah. So I need to finish my Knight Atropos that I'm building at the moment, but once he's done, I might have to get one of these.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one was Titan Weapons for Warlord, not Titanicus. Titan Weapons, actual.
Yeah, so designed Titan for weapons. The actual 30k range. It had the Quake Cannon.
That was a beast, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And it was the. Was it
Macro Gatling Blaster? Yeah. I really like the look of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Well, that's face facts. If you're running a Warlord in 40k, 30k, whatever it is, you don't need four Volcano cannons, because that's just why it's going.
No.
Well, I suppose it's nice to have them. You won't have much of an enemy afterwards, would you?
So, but they're quite clear what you have in 30k, you'll have in 80 Adeptus.
Yes.
Which was, you know, just hit the debiggerer button, as Tony Connor said, and you'll have your model. But yeah, beautiful kits, absolutely stunning. That Quake Cannon is a slightly modified version of the one that comes on the Warmonger. So it's got a proper fitting magazine at the back. And what was interesting, I don't know if you've caught Will Hayes saying that the Macro Gatling Blaster will be, a version of that will be made that can go onto the Warmonger as well.
Mm.
So as its main weapon on his head, or on the top of its carapace, you'll be able to put one of them. So
it's very cool.
And what about the new old release, shall we say, the books?
Oh, the Dreadnought Drop Pod. Is that the one?
Softback.
Oh,
yeah.
So I like this. So the big black books are clearly an investment.
Yeah.
They are on display in my house as, you know, part of my pride and joy. They're up there with other things that mean a lot to us as a family. I managed to sneak them into the main living space. They look beautiful. The paperback ones look good, and I'm sure they'll be great quality. And I think for people who are interested in their heresy as it goes forward, and there's reference books, etc., I think that'll be a good way to do it. I'm going to stick with the hardback versions as they come out.
Yeah.
Personally,
I like the idea of both. So if it, I personally love the actual hardback books, like you, they just look really nice, and I like the feel of them.
I think there would be more of a bigger demand for digital rather than softback.
I don't know. So everyone likes to have a book in their hand.
Yeah.
There's something about the book and the colour plates that you get in them. Or
this is the thing though, I love the hardbacks, but I don't like gaming with them because they are a piece of art in themselves. So I like them stored away and all occasionally. Yeah. But if I'm gaming, I don't care if it's on an iPad or tablet, I don't mind, you can just flick through it. Or softback, it depends on that, the price range. I mean, what's it going to be? Save 20 quid.
I like it because it's a reduced barrier of entry for people.
Yeah.
And I think that's very good. And actually, I'd like to see hardback and softback, the softback to reduce the barrier of entry so people get involved.
Mm-hmm.
More people playing this game, the better.
Absolutely.
So that's a big win for me. Personally, what I'd like to see at some point is reduced rules down into one book. So that all rules for the games are just in one book, essentially, with all the bits distilled out.
You've got the red books, haven't you?
Yeah, but I would like a new distilled red book with just all the rules in terms of that. I'd still buy the big black book anyway, because I just love the backstory that goes with it. But as you said, it's regardless of whether it's hardback or softback, it's still
so
a
there's been a little talk today about a mission/campaign rules book. So the red books are there that give you the army lists and the details of the army. There is the Bible, as it gets referred to, the actual Age of Darkness rule book, which is a slightly reworked 7th edition rule set of normal Warhammer 40k. And there was talk today of pulling some of those really interesting campaigns from the black books, the stuff where you can get nano weapons and other different
relics
and stuff.
And
include them. Pulling all that into a collected tome of a red book so that you've got that piece. I think that's absolutely a good way to go. For that reason that you spoke of, Gaz, gaming. I don't like to bring my Tempest to the gaming table, drop it down, have models fly off because it's like a catapult when you drop it on a tile.
It's quite a hefty shift when you have to carry all the books around for a game.
Having the red books or a digital version, or even... It is great, but having that paperback version of the big black book for those that have got into it maybe 2 years ago, like you were saying yourself, actually I don't have to invest in that massive tome. I might be investing in 8th edition special codexes for the army books as they come out, because they look beautiful as well, if you're into that sort of hobby. So it's really good. I just like the idea that they're doing something else, and there's other versions of things now. I like that. That's really good. Okay, guys, so after a fantastic first day, we've got tomorrow to look forward to. And by the time this goes out, that'll be clearly a yesterday.
or maybe last month, depending how quickly.
Depends on how it goes. But it'll be in the past when you listen to it. But it's in our future right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What are we looking forward to tomorrow in day two of the Horus Heresy Weekender?
So I personally, I think I'm really looking forward to the... The Malevolence and Beyond.
Malevolence and Beyond.
Yeah, so I think that's what I'm looking forward to, just to get a bit of a feel of what's coming next, because the next book is Dark Angels. And I said that last time. So I'm really hoping that this time truly is not a cock tease, and we're actually going to get Dark Angels this time next year. So
it just needs one army list.
Just one army list.
Because they fight each other.
Yeah. Dark Angels versus Dark Angels.
That's
the showdown.
That's all you need.
There's only going to be one winner.
So, yeah, I think I tend to agree. I think that part, where is the Heresy going? That's, what's the future? It seems bright and rosy at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's probably something to talk about, actually, is that I came here a little bit down on Heresy.
Yeah.
But I think after today, I'm going away a lot more positive on it from that reveal and... Tony's talking about that they're going to be putting out a lot more releases this year at a steady beat as well, every couple of months or so at least. So that's the big takeaway for me actually from today is that point. So a bit of a segue there, but I think it's quite important to say actually.
Yeah, I think so too. Gaz, how about yourself?
To be honest, I've been looking forward from the end of last year to the start of this. I thought, go do Solo Exilia. Finally started doing Solo Exilia. Obviously, Blood Angels have all come out. And just, especially going into that painting talk today, I just want to go home and start painting Blood Angels.
It's not going to happen though, is it?
No. I've got my fist on red spray, you know.
Yeah, and a dip.
Yeah.
Some spray and a dip and you're fine, that's all you need.
Salo Auxilia, I really want to get them done. And I'm massively pumped. I've got the tournament next week, haven't I?
Okay, yeah.
You know, so it's Frome Schools next weekend. So I've got that to go to. Look forward to watching my Praetor go around killing everyone like he did with Wesley's custodes.
Or didn't. Uh-huh. Should we recount that story where you charged into my custodes?
Is that the same Praetor as well that got gunned down by conversion beams?
So you're hoping.
Yes. I forgot about that game, yeah. Yeah, he does die a lot, my Praetor does.
Yeah.
But he normally does a lot of damage, to be fair.
He doesn't really.
Well, I still beat you worse.
So back to the story. Gaz charges in with his massive little 20-man squad of jump pack dudes into my three dudes of custodies, and then gets beaten down quite horribly by the custodies, and then spends the rest of the game just running away. Fortunately for Gaz though, he managed to actually jump on some objectives and he won the game, but it was through cowardice
in his
blood red army.
It was knowing what units to sacrifice to hold him up while the rest of my army shot everything. You can only delete one unit at a time with custodes. You can hammer at everything you've got and you might get rid of three guys. You've got everything else coming for you. So you just go hold them up that little bit, and then when I have re-rolls of re-rolls of re-rolls in funds. What is it? Two up in fund, re-rollable or something like that.
But the beautiful thing is now, today I picked up some jump pack custodies, so I see your jump packs and raise your custody jump packs.
Yeah, I'll land the contactor on.
Specifically tomorrow though, guys, is there any of the lectures or seminars that you're particularly interested in?
They're having the Future of Titanicus, which, to be fair, I know people moan about Necromunda being at the event, but you can understand Titanicus because it's actually set in the same era.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so I don't mind Titanicus being here. I can see why. I think the people had more of an issue with when it's Lord of the Rings and things that was totally out there rather than Necromunda. But I think Heresy and Titanicus is fine. So
that
can be interesting. Obviously, I think we all know they've got to catch up with the models that are already out for Forge World, you know, the knights and stuff. And then once that's all caught up with, you think, I wonder what Titans I can
now. Yeah. Where does the mind take you? Titan Death had different classes.
Yeah.
I think that'd be an interesting one to go to. It's a real shame there's some clashes with ones that I really want to go and see. So the Necromunda Scenery clashes with that Future of Adeptus
Titanicus.
I'm
glad you brought that up. I was speaking to three of the designers today, and they showed some Titanicus scenery, which looked fantastic. Just like spears and stuff, so it's not all the buildings aren't boxes. And I says, I love scenery. And they said, it's funny you should mention that. I says, it's one of the hardest products to shift. And I says, every Christmas, because we all know they do the box sets down there at Christmas, always buying the scenery ones. I just love scenery.
Yeah.
You know, terrain, it's a great time to be in the hobby now because there's so much you can do with the terrain.
Yeah.
Back in, you know, 15 years ago, whereas everyone fought on the Forest World.
Yeah.
You know, that was always the thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But now there's so many different options you can do with the...
You must love all those boxes trying to stack up in your
house. Oh, yeah.
Making building blocks out of terrain.
Yeah, I've got the Wall of Martyrs. You know, that original big box they've brought? Yeah, got that all still in the box.
Oh, dear.
I always, every so often, I see how much I go on eBay and think, bloody hell, I'm kind of rich. I could be like a stockbroker just of GW models. Just wait until Lee comes in here then.
Yeah, I think I'm quite excited about the future Adeptus Titanicus one that you mentioned. Definitely Malevolence and Beyond.
Yeah.
Got to go to that and see that.
The Journey of Garrow, which it's book 8,
yeah,
you can't see many people turning up to that.
And I'm gutted about that because I love Garrow.
Yeah,
I have Garrow as a character. I use him on the tabletop occasionally. I love the stories. I love that. I want to know what's going on with Nathaniel Garrow, and maybe there'll be some reveals about what happens with the Knights Errant, which is kind of apt for us.
Yeah,
it clashes with
Malevolence
and Beyond. So, and then I'm also looking forward to the Age of Darkness forum. I missed that today, so I want to go to that.
Yes, that was full when I went to try and gain it.
And apparently lots of good stuff was in it, so I'd like to go in and just listen. A lot, you know. Neil Wiley is kind of new into the team, but Nuj has been here for a little bit now, and I like listening to that man talk about the hobby, talk about the rules writing, what generates ideas, how they cooperate. So I want to go and listen to him espouse on this, because I think that's great. So
I think it's worth commenting, actually. I used to really enjoy listening to Alan. He's a great guy, very knowledgeable. And Nuj has a very similar
way of
speaking and engagement and depth of understanding of it, which is great, actually. Yeah. So,
absolutely. So,
we can say how good this weekend been was. Lee, who's not on here at the moment because he's been a good husband, unlike us.
We sent ours to Ireland for the day.
Yeah, came out the country. Lee, he's been all about 40k, hasn't he? He's massively for a while now. He's been all over 40k. And he's coming away from this with another legion to start, and he's massively pumped.
Oh, he dropped a whole army today, didn't he?
Yeah, he's brought a whole Night Lord's army.
Good on him.
Which I think he's not really a traitor person, so he's normally more one of the loyalists, so it's going to be very interesting. And the problem with Lee, he speaks to Mark Bedford a lot, which is good, because Mark Bedford keeps showing him how to make armies, and Lee he's quite OCD. He'll admit himself, he's OCD, and he'll paint a fantastic miniature and go, oh, that's awesome, Lee. And go, yeah, I don't like it. And then he never gets anywhere. So I'm hoping he's so fired up, I think he's going to start getting a Heresy army together.
I find that all the weekenders have always recharged my batteries. For
I think generally Heresy events are always good for recharging, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's one of the best things about it is I get to sit in a room with you guys. Well, maybe some of you guys.
We're going to do it later, all looped up, but that's a whole different story.
Well, sitting down with your friends.
He normally just shits in my bathroom, doesn't he, and blocks the toilet?
Yes. Yes, he does.
No, I think you're right, though. It's very much a social aspect here.
Yeah.
You come in, and there'll be people you've not seen for a couple of years, and they'll come up and they'll slap you in the back and give you a hug and stuff. And it's that sort of thing. It's the community is great.
There is an air of positivity constantly, and it just charges everyone up, doesn't it?
And this one in particular has, I think it's massively redeemed itself.
Yes.
If it needed to redeem itself from some of the pre-event activities that went on,
because I did,
and the lack of the book that everyone was expecting to be,
I think,
to pick
it
up.
Especially last year waned quite heavily, didn't it?
So I really enjoyed last year as well, but it did kind of
we enjoyed it for the drinking aspects more than the
potentially and getting Orlocks rather than
yes
than any Heresy thing. But this is I think this has been a fantastic weekend so far. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow and seeing what comes from that.
Yep. It's a shame that the models all weren't released at the same time, as in the Blood Angel Terminators, you know, Sanguinus, all just dropped today. You know, the Praetors, the Leviathan, the Contempt. It's a little bit odd that those dropped, especially the Leviathan and Contempt, they were dropped before Christmas. You know, you'd thought they'd waited until this adventure.
It's quite interesting. There were quite a few reveals in the past couple of weeks, and I was kind of expecting not that many more. But actually, during that reveal today, there were several. Then I was quite impressed with actually. You know, it was, I was excited, having left it afterwards with reveals going away there, and actually excited for the fact that we're going to get that's just next couple of months worth of releases.
Yeah, I think Heresy's a lot stronger place now than what it has been for a while.
So, and that was the other part. So, looking forward, hopefully Malevolence will tell us a little bit more. But that model reveal, Tony Cottrell standing there and saying that they have big plans for the Heresy and how the Heresy develops. This is a third of the way through in terms of Forge World game. Not Black Library story, but the Forge World game, the model line, etc., and where the Black Books are up to. We're only a third of the way in, guys.
Yeah.
And there's so much more to explore.
To be fair, that's what we should have talked about in the reveal. They did say that once the next book, Dark Angels, are out, they're going to have a look at the Traitor Legions again and how they've changed.
Well, and the Loyalists as well, how they've changed post and stuff going down.
So,
and a helmet for every Primarch.
I must admit that I like helmets. I don't like bear heads. So
they could have give Ferris a very special one. Was it just a box to carry in?
Maybe we could get a contempt of that. Be nice.
Yeah.
Oops, too soon for Iron Hands.
Yeah.
But no, I think that tomorrow's going to be really good. I think the Heresy's been weekender has been a real positive so far, and it's been great to sit here and chat about it. This our inaugural episode of the Knights Errant podcast.
Yeah, hopefully everyone's enjoyed it.
Well, I hope that one person stuck with us to the end. That's probably my mum.
That'll be me editing or something.
Absolutely.
I'm hoping one of you two decide to do the editing.
But no, so I think that pretty much wraps us up for today.
Well, thanks guys, and we'll hopefully see you again soon.
Yeah.
See ya.
Goodbye.
Ciao, muchacho.